Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Delighted you could join us for the Big Red Bench. Thank you for giving us your vote on this Sunday evening, and that is the last election joke I will make over the course of the next hour. Plenty to come on the show this evening. Reaction from Cork versus Down, and that great win for the Rebels today. Going to be reflecting on a fantastic win for UCC last night and that dramatic Mark Holman sideline cut. Also going to talk about the Ireland women's team, a fantastic win for them today over Wales at Energia Park in the driving rain. It looked absolutely miserable. Also on the show tonight, we're going to talk Muay Thai. Simon Moore is with us today, and we're going to talk to Cork City's new signing Dylan McGlade ahead of the start of the season happening this Friday night, Valentine's night at the Cross. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Glad you could join us on the show this evening. Rory and Tomás here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. If you would like to get in touch, you can text us 086 810 4106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench is the place to do that. The storm might have cancelled a lot of fixtures today, but Tomás and Larry still got into the studio just as well.
Oh yeah, look, it's not too bad out there. I don't know, they're getting very soft these days, cancelling games.
What was the worst weather you've played in? Because we were watching the Ireland women's game today and that looked absolutely abysmally bad, and I was cold just looking at them.
Yeah, that was shocking. I don't think I ever played in such theming rain and bitterly cold rain. You could see the players literally huddling in together. Felt sorry for them. I guess it wasn't a 4G pitch, the ref would have called it off, but yeah, I don't really remember. Obviously, I've played in the cold and rain, but nothing dangerous or nothing yeah. Kind of crazy.
That rain today was just absolutely something else. Fair play to them for playing in that, because it looked an absolute nightmare to play in. It was similar, well, not too similar, but in Musgrave Park on Friday with the under 20s, the wind was swirling, the goalposts were swaying. It was hectic enough, and we saw it in the England and Scotland match yesterday, that the ball was just going up in the air and going backwards. It was not a great weekend if you were trying to kick the ball.
No, that looked terrific yesterday in Edinburgh. To be fair, I saw the 20s game as well, and the Irish women's game today, the skill levels were actually very, very good considering the conditions. Can't really say the same of the England-Scotland game. That was a,
that was a shocker.
Brutal game of rugby. But look, I guess England won't be too concerned coming out with a win, and kind of looking forward to the Irish game in 2 weeks. But yeah, fair dues to the Irish 20 side and the women's side for kind of producing some decent rugby in conditions.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll talk more rugby in a little bit. We'll hear from Irish worker Cliona Maloney, who is among the scorers today. But now that's Moss going to wrap up all today's action.
And in Gaelic games, Cork have made it 3 wins from 3 in Division 3 of the National Football League. Ronan McCarthy's side have beaten Down and Parkitquive. 16-1-8 was the final score. Cork had ended the game with 13 players after Sean White was sent off after 55 minutes after picking up 2 yellow cards, while Kevin Crowley had to go off injured late on after Cork had used all their subs. In Division 1 of the Alliance Football League games, Tyrone have beaten Kerry 14-13 in Eden Dork, while Galway have beaten Donegal in Letterkenny, also by a single point, with the final score being 2-8-2-7. At Park Tailteann then, Mayo have beaten Meath 19-5.
Just on that Kerry game, David Clifford sent off today for one of the worst refereeing decisions I've ever seen. He was basically dragged to the ground today by one of the Tyrone players. Put him in a headlock, dragged him to the ground. The referee, after consulting with his umpire, saw fit to give David Clifford a yellow card. He was already on a yellow, so he was sent off for getting headlocked and dragged to the ground. It was one of the worst refereeing decisions I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's kind of a bugbear of mine as well. I think the instigator, obviously, GA typically, you know, some fella comes over, gives you a shoulder, drag you to the ground, and you kind of have to engage or defend yourself to an extent. So I think it's just common team in the DA is just give 2 yellow cards.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if we can identify the instigator of the incident, you know, give him the yellow card, let him go off the pitch for 10 minutes, then I think that will dissuade it. Whereas, you know, you're just picking two guys who were involved in any altercation. Like if some fella comes up and hits you have to protect yourself to an extent.
Yeah.
Clifford was just basically assaulted. Well, wasn't he overly, you know, aggressive, but he caught him in a headlock and dragged him to the ground.
Suggestions that, like, you know, Tyrone targeted him, they were a point down and they wanted to get him sent off, so they just basically said, right, who doesn't have a yellow card, right, go on, grab him and try and get him the second yellow. His first one was apparently harmless as well, because he was giving out to the referee for a Tyrone player taking too long over free-taking. The referee today is Fergal Kelly. I can't imagine he's going to be a very popular man down in Kerry anytime soon.
No, certainly not. And I saw a bit of that game as well, and a lot of he seemed to be like in constant contact with the umpires and stuff, and that's good, but it did slow down the game, and I saw it kind of frustrate a lot of the Kerry players in particular when they were trying to chase the game late on. Like Paul Murphy was remonstrating at one point as well. He took about 2 minutes to make up his mind what he was doing and whether Tyrone were bringing on the sub. Look, with regards to the Clifford incident, though, it's definitely something that the GA are going to have to look at. You can't just kind of just book two players for being involved in an incident. I think you have to look at who was the aggressor and who was the instigator.
Yeah, certainly so.
And in Division 2, Roscommon enjoyed 1-8 to 4 points victory over Clare at Dr. Hyde Park, while Westmeath saw Fermanagh 10 points to 8 in TG Cusack Park. The National Camogie League tie between Cork and Offaly has been postponed due to the weather, and likewise the Red FM Division 1 Hurling League fixture between Douglas and Uachtaráin Shandrum has also been called off. Ireland have made it 2 wins from 2 in the Women's Six Nations. They picked up a bonus point win over Wales in the terrible conditions in Energia Park in Donnybrook, winning 31 points to 12. Stephen Doyle was in Donnybrook.
Ireland 31, Wales 12, the full-time score. And for the first time since February 2018, Ireland have recorded back-to-back Six Nations victories with a very impressive bonus point win against Wales. The Welsh meant business from the first whistle but couldn't convert their early dominance into scores. Then, on their first trip over the halfway line, Ireland got the first try of the match. Bevan Parsons burned up the wing to make it back-to-back five-pointers in the tournament for her in the 16th minute. Hooker Cliona Maloney got the second in the 25th minute before Lauren Delaney got the third Irish try after a superb Emer Considine offload just after the half hour mark. Just one conversion kick from Claire Keohane for those tries on her first international 15 start. Lauren Smith went over for the visitors to make it 17-5 at the break. The try bonus point was sealed after Linda Dugang crossed in the 41st minute for Ireland, and Keohane got the afters. 5 minutes later there was another Welsh try scored by Sue and Lillycrap and converted by Robin Wilkins. Ireland's determination really paid off in the final closing minutes as they did get a penalty try to finish off the game. It's ended here, Ireland 31, Wales 12. Stephen Doyle at Energia Park.
Yeah, it was a cracking one for Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic, and you know, some of the tries they scored in the conditions were really admirable. I think the first half performance they got a flying start, and then they obviously had to hold out with the weather, but yeah, tip of the hat to them, and look, hopefully they can continue for the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And in the men's competition, France have beaten Italy 35 points to 22 at the Stade de France, so that leaves both them and Ireland on 9 points, sitting pretty at the top of the table. Interesting, kind of tough enough game for France. They look very comfortable, but still leaked quite a few tries, three tries they leaked. So there's hope for Ireland having to go there in the last game if it's still in the mix.
Yeah, obviously Ireland on an off week this week because the next game against England isn't until the weekend after next. How did you find that when you were in the middle of Six Nations camps? I mean, like, would you have preferred all the games go back to back, or were you kind of glad of a week off in the middle of it?
No, it's nice to reset. You know, particularly the attrition rate of modern day rugby. It gives you a mental break as well, which is important and often overlooked. And Ireland, obviously, you know, with two victories, sitting pretty top of the table, and it just gives them an extra bit of time for the bodies to recover and to mentally prepare for the game against England. Obviously, that's going to be a massive challenge,
yeah,
particularly the last couple of games since England haven't gone well for Ireland, so gives us as much time to prep and mentally prepare for that.
Yeah.
And in the Premier League, Sheffield United are up to 5th, 2 points off 4th after the 2-1 win over Bournemouth at Bramall Lane. Lee Stott was watching this one.
Sheffield United 2, Bournemouth 1. A late goal created by his substitutes won this for Chris Wilder. After a throw-in, Lee Smuse tapped the ball towards John Lundstrom in the middle of the penalty area. He managed to open his body and scored with a very well-placed effort. The home side had equalised in first half injury time through captain Billy Sharp after Callum Wilson had put the visitors ahead. Full-time, Sheffield United 2, Bournemouth 1.
And the scheduled fixture between defending champions Man City and West Ham has been postponed also due to Stormy Kira.
Yeah, so a very quiet weekend in the Premier League after the mid-season break. But a good win for Sheffield United today. They're certainly flying high. Cork's John Egan, of course, in the heart of that Sheffield United defence, up to fifth, 2 points off the Premier League. And as everyone was saying on Twitter today, they're a point off safety. That was their target, 40 points safety. They've done that with almost 12 games to go. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And West Brom have extended their lead at the top of the championship with a 2-0 win at the Den today. They're 4 points clear of second place Leeds United, with Republic of Ireland's Dara O'Shea also scoring for the visitors. Celtic are into the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup. The Hoops have won 3-0 away to Clyde. Their reward is a trip to St Johnstone. Locally, in the quarterfinal clash of the Munster Senior Cup between Mayfield and Cork City has been postponed due to the bad weather. That game will be rescheduled in due course. And in basketball, two games in the Women's Super League this afternoon. UCC Ambassador Glanmire, 85, Liffey Celtic, 71, and DCU Mercy, 96, Father Matthews, 71 were the scores there. In snooker, Neil Robinson and Graham Dott are going head-to-head in the World Grand Prix in Cheltenham today. At the end of the first session, Robinson leads 5-3. They'll resume this evening. Seamus Power is the only Irish interest left in the AT&T Pro-Am in Pebble Beach. He's in a tie for 44th and 4 under par, 13 shots off the lead going into the final round. Patrick Harrington and Graham McDowell did not make the cut on 2 over and 3 over respectively. Cavan's Leona Maguire finished in 7 under par in a tie for 4th in the Victoria Open in Australia earlier today. That was just one shot off South Korea. good challenge there for me. Who won the competition after a playoff? Antrim native Stephanie Meadow finished up in a tie for 20th and 2 under. Racing in Punchestown today has been cancelled due to the bad weather, and it's been rescheduled for Tuesday afternoon, February the 11th.
Yeah, weather today, yeah, certainly playing havoc with all the fixtures. Snow on the way apparently this week as well. So wrap up warm, get your slice pans in just in case. Cove Ramblers as well have tweeted us. Their dugouts have been destroyed basically by Storm Kira, and the fence behind them, the dugouts have blown over. They've been all broken, and then the fencing behind the dugouts have being bent back and been severely damaged as well. So they set up a GoFundMe to fund that. You can check them out on Twitter at CoveRamblersFC or at CoveRamblersFC, and you can find them on the other socials as well, and they'll have a link to the GoFundMe. We've tweeted us out as well on the Big Red Bench account. But obviously not something that they want to have happen just before the start of the season. They're trying to raise €7,500 to replace the dugouts, fix the fencing. So it's a huge amount of money for a club like Cove Ramblers so close to the start of the season as well. So if you're in a position to help them out, please do so. You can find the link to that GoFundMe on their social media page, and you can find it on our Twitter page as well, at Big Red Bench. Just looking at photographs of it here, doesn't look too pretty. So hopefully they can get that sorted before the start of the first division campaign. Alright, we're going to talk Gaelic Games, of course, as Cork made it 3-1 from 3 in Division 3 today with that fantastic win over Down, finishing the game with 13 players, as Tomás mentioned. But a good win for Cork, 6 points from their first 3 games. We'll discuss that in a bit. First, we're going to hear a bit from Ron McCarthy speaking afterwards.
Delighted to get the result. We didn't downplay the significance of the game, I suppose, to the players. We felt that if we could win today, it really puts us in pole position, for the remainder of the league. So, I suppose having bigged up the game beforehand, I'm not going to sit here afterwards and say that it's not important. And a crucial victory, really, against a good side that, played really well against Derry last week, above, had come from behind to win. A good professional performance, I would have thought, a controlled performance, particularly in the first half, where Down just, against the wind, literally just put 15 men behind the ball, say they're all 65, and we were good and controlled, we were patient, we waited for our openings, and were 8, well worth the 8-2 half time advantage. They didn't score for 30 minutes in the first half, and against any side, that's good going. So as I say, we did, we did emphasise the players' importance of the game, and we've got a result, and I suppose we've got it comfortably enough.
Do you think 6 was enough at
half time,
given the elements?
Yeah, because I suppose the fact that we were ahead was really the key thing, because Down were going to have to come out and chase the game. So you know, paradoxically, it was probably going to be easier for us to play in the second half against the wind because there was going to be more openings. They took off the sweeper at half-time as well, which obviously helped also. And I think we had 3 points. You know, they only scored 2 in the first half. We had 3. I think we had the first 5-6 minutes of the second half up on the board. And so overall, you know, the way with the running we have in the team and the energy and the way we get forward and support, you know, playing against the wind is never going to be a burden for us, really. And, you know, and that's the way it transpired.
11 different scores. Yeah,
I didn't know. I suppose what I was happy with today was, look, Cahill, you know, we said Eamon Gore had a tough day, the first day against Offaly. You know, much better today. Kicked one cracking score, actually, where he dummied and kicked a beauty. But better today, Cahill, you know, you saw flashes of you know, the brilliant player he's going to be. You know, in one incredible score in the second half against the wind. You know, it looks easy, but a stunning score. And having missed, you know, one or two in the first half, you know, it was great to see that. So he's developed really well, you know, and he's got stronger as the games have gone on. So as I say, Dame did well, and you know, and we weren't shy either. Look, we took Ciarán off, we took Rory off, you know, we took some of our big hitters off. You know, they were a bit just maybe a bit under par today relative to the other games, and we didn't hang around, and you know, I still got people in. So overall, you know, a great day in the office, apart from the injury to Kevin Crowley.
Shoulder again,
yeah, it looks like it's a shoulder again. There's a lot of discomfort, so we're not that hopeful, but we'll see.
Would you have liked to have seen a few more goal opportunities?
I'd be critical of the fact that, you know, I wasn't too sure how good a chance Ciarán's one in the first half was.
It's tight enough angle.
Yeah, tight enough, so I was far away from that. Cullum's obviously, you know, he felt the goal was on. We probably, you know, should take the score there. And obviously Keane and Luke there, you know, just, you know, wires crossed and all that. And all those, if you tack on a score there, it makes the game easier again, you know. Obviously we conceded it. Again, you know, you're kind of unsighted on that goal. It looked a poor enough goal, you know, the one we conceded. But we went up the pitch again. I thought Ian did really well there to kind of lead us home when, you know, I suppose there was a bit of doubt when they got the goal. I think it brought him back to 5, and there was still plenty of time, you know, there was still, I think, 6 minutes and injury time to go. So I thought we responded well to that. So as I said, overall a good professional performance. They're a difficult team to play against, and you know, I thought we did it as well as anyone could.
And you didn't look too panicked down to 14 and then 13.
No, we didn't, and you know, to be fair, you know, you're seeing a lot of, you know, I think you're seeing a lot in the team of Keane's coaching, and you know, he's great at, you know, I suppose getting the players to play different scenarios in training, and you know, it's that scenarios they've come across, and they know what to do and how to see it out. And I thought Ian led well there, and that you know, this was about hanging on with 13, keep pressing the ball, keep forcing to take shots under pressure, you know, and if we could break out. I thought we did that well, which was, I suppose, a more mature aspect of the performance maybe relative to previous years.
And you know, be hoping to be back running for Matt Collins or James Ottery?
Yeah, we're at a point now where we are going to be, I suppose, cutting the panel for the next week. We have everyone back, you know, really. We have no injuries as such. Obviously Kevin Crowley was into the mix there, but we're nearly at you know, we nearly have everyone back, and certainly within the next 2 weeks, you know, Brian Hurley will be back, Mark Collins, James Lockery, you know, should all be in the mix. So unfortunately we're at a point where, you know, we have to cut back slightly on our panel again, and we'll be doing that next week.
Yeah, it's Cork boss Ron McCarthy there speaking after the win over Down today. 3 wins now from 3 for the Rebels to start the Division 3 campaign. I don't think Ronan could be happier with the way things have gone. 6 points, can't say too much more about that, I guess.
Yeah, look, he's kind of already starting to think about the makeup of his panel for the championship, really, and that's going to be, I guess, a difficult cut for them to make. You know, to be fair, they've given a lot of guys a run and seem to be trying to experiment as much as possible, so be very interesting to see who gets left out of that, and I suppose how they progress towards the championship year. But kind of interesting point there that I kind of took from that interview as well was, you know, he was asked about their goal chance and the goal they conceded, and he said didn't really have a great view of either.
Yeah.
I think, you know, seeing Jay managers on the line, actually on the sidelines, you don't, you like in rugby, they're, yeah, they're up in the stand, and even Davey Fitz, when he got the suspension, stayed in the stand. So I don't know, they might have guys up in the stand, but I think from my point of view, watching games, and if I was trying to make changes, I think a lot more GA managers might look at going up to the stand and actually kind of getting a better overview of the games.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea actually, because especially the GA pitch is so big, so wide, and maybe get a better view and kind of see things going on. But I'd imagine they do have someone up there, don't they?
Yeah, but, you know, if you're in charge of a team, you're essentially, your head's on the block. I kind of want to make my own decisions and look, obviously be advised as well by your selectors and the other coaching staff. And definitely from experience, look, I've been down on the bench, being part of a team whereby you're stuck literally on the ground, and you find it hard to see the flow of a game.
Yeah.
Whereas if the subs bench is a bit into the stand, you automatically see where the space is, see where teams are attacking you, whatever. And similar in GA, from watching matches, it's a lot easier to get a view of the game, where the space may be, where they're putting their extra man or whatever it might be. So just food for thought, if I was coaching a team, I'd like to get as much of a vantage point as possible, but look, that's down to personal preference, I guess.
Alright, we're going to stick out with Gaelic games, and UCC booking their place in the Fitzgibbon Cup last night in dramatic circumstances. This is brilliant. Mark Holman sideline cut 5 minutes in injury time, so College defeat DCU 18 points to 17 to keep their title defence alive, and the hunt for title number 40. They now face IT Carlow on Wednesday in the final. They had a comfortable win over Merrimack College, 5-14 to 15 points. Now Oisin Langan caught up with Mark Holman on the Electric Ireland live stream after the game.
Coleman, the man of the moment, Mark Coleman, UCC back in the Electric Ireland Fitzgibbon Cup final. You're going for yet another title, but the takeaway from this game will be your point at the end from that line ball. Talk us through it.
I don't know, it's a bit vague even at the moment, but I suppose we did very well to kind of get ourselves back into the game. We kind of had a draw, we had a good hold in the first half, and they came back in, they kind of pulled ahead a few points in the second half, and so we pulled ourselves back into it, thank God, just to give me that kind of opportunity at the end. And I suppose it was just a bit lucky in the end. You know, if you asked me to do another time, I wouldn't get it in 100 shots. So I was just wondering.
Normally I'd believe someone when they said that, but I think you'd probably nail 7 out of 10. I mean, how much work do you put into line balls? Because it's very obvious it's a real skill of yours. It's something that you're really expert at.
Well, I suppose it's not something I practice hugely. It's just once you have the technique, it's just a matter of topping up in it. This time of year, I probably haven't hit much of them at all, so I was surprised it even got off the ground, to be honest. So I was happy enough, yeah.
You're modest, I'll give you that. Talk to me about the emotion at the end, the full time whistle, and the reaction, because I think it's fair to say you were behind for most of the second half and it didn't look good at times.
Yeah, definitely not, but I suppose we just tried to stick to our game plan, really. That's really when things were going bad for us, that kind of is something to fall back on, and thankfully it pulled us back into the game. But John's very similar to last year, a tough game, really went down to the wire again, so we're just delighted to come up on top again.
You're back here, I think, on Wednesday night for the final against IT Carlow. That will be a tough one.
Definitely, we expect more of the same as tonight. So, just about recovery, you know, getting right. It's a quick turnaround, so just try and get right for that and again, go at it again, trying to retain the title.
Yeah, that's Mark Holman there speaking after their win last night over DCU. That was him talking to Oisin Langan on the Electric Ireland live stream after the game. That was one of the most sensational scores I think I've seen in a long, long time. To do that into like 4 minutes into extra time, into that wind, it was just breezing, swirling everywhere. Such a hard skill to do, to get it over the bar on a perfect day, let alone in conditions like that. That was sensational.
It was good, but it wasn't. Then how did it justify Oisin Langan getting so excited in the after match interview? God, he was a kid at Christmas. He was so excited, but that was an unbelievable piece of skill from Coleman. And like Oisin mentioned, like he's done that before.
Yeah.
And he's obviously been modest, like most GA lads are. He's a fantastic piece of skill, but like you said, game on the line, difficult conditions, whatever, 50, 60 yards out, straight through the sticks. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Oisin got excited in the commentary as well. We're going to play the commentary of the sideline cup.
This is like trying to nail a putt to win the Masters, but from the bunker. Shane Lowry would fancy it. Mark Coleman gets the height, gets the elevation, gets the point. Mark Coleman, in the most dramatic of circumstances, has likely seal UCC's spot in the final. Will Fergal Horgan give DCU Dunkers here in one last chance?
Yeah, he certainly enjoyed that, didn't he?
Oh yeah, absolutely. To be fair, like, oh, I feel like I need to up my game here, just start shouting into the mic or something.
Yeah, I get Oisin to give you some motivational speeches there. Now you'll be grand. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about rugby and that fantastic win for Ireland to the Overwells.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
All right, glad you joined us on the Big Red Bench this evening. It's Rory and Tomás here with you until 7 p.m. this evening, every Saturday and Sunday, right here on Cork's Red FM. We're going to talk rugby and Ireland's fantastic win over Wales today at Energy Park. 31-12 was how that finished in Donnybrook this afternoon. It's their second win, 2 wins from 2 now for Adam Griggs' side. After that win over Wales today, Bevan Parsons, Cliona Maloney, Lauren Delaney, Linda Zhugang, with all going over the line. There was a penalty try right at the end as well. Going to hear now from one of the try scorers, Cliona Maloney, speaking after today's win.
Now, Irish hooker, player of the match, Cliona Maloney. You must be really buzzing after that game.
Yeah, it was touch and go for a while and the weather came down on top of us and stuff like that, but we did make our mistakes, but I think it was more about how we kind of came back from them and how we dealt with them and the weather. But yeah, absolutely delighted and glad we have a week off next week too, to just take a break mentally from preparing for competition, but you know, knowing that we've got England the week after, have a chance to recoup and get everything back together and organise ourselves would be really important.
I have to say, I thought the first 15 minutes was very impressive, because you really had to, you know, you came under a real pressure from the Welsh team that opening 15 minutes, and you couldn't even really get out of your own half. But to leave them scoreless after all that pressure was really, really, it must have been, a huge morale boost for the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Defence is something that we've been working hard on. We've got a new defence coach in Kieran Hallett, and he's been doing great things with us. So it's all about process, and if we stick to our process, we know we'll end up coming out with a result. So that was the most important thing for us. And then, I guess after that, where we've lacked kind of clarity before is once we get inside the 22, we've got to dot the ball down. You know, once we get into the scoring zone, we've got to get scores on the board. So we're able to do that now too. Not every time, but we're getting there. So it's important.
That first try from Bevan Parsons was assisted a bit by the wind. How much of a factor was the conditions out there today?
Huge. Not so much in the first half. Like, the wind was still annoying, but we could deal with that. It was when the hail and the driving rain and that kind of came, and people started to get cold. The ball was slippy. Tested all of the concentration, tested all of our phase play, tested everything that we could ever think about. It was very, very difficult.
What about that try from Bevan? Like, that's her back-to-back games now. She scored tries in, still only 18, still doing her leaving cert. It's been an incredible start to the tournament for her.
Yeah, and no problems, like, not a fear in her. She's well able to go. She knows her rugby inside out. No, it's not cockiness, it's confidence in that she knows her role, and she's very good at what she does, and she knows that. She's a great little girl. There's a couple of them there, Judy Bobbitt, Dorothy Wall, Bevan. There's a few more as well coming through at the minute, but like, it drives us on as the people that have been around for a few years. See the younger girls coming in and ready to go off the mark. No problem at all.
And I know hookers mightn't be known for their pace cleaner, but you saw that gap for your own try as well, and there was no stopping you once you got through there.
Yeah. Well, the hooker's meant to be the fourth back row, so I have to be able to take the space when Senne makes a break like that. No, Senne put me away, and if I didn't finish it now, I would have been very disappointed. But yeah, it was just good phase play that led to the break, and lucky to be the one on the end of it.
And sealing that bonus point was really important, and to do it immediately after the restart was crucial as well.
Yeah, it was. Like, we've had an issue with finishing games before, particularly against Wales. Like, we let it slip last November, and we knew they'd be coming here hard. They've got a big pack, they're quite dogged, and if there's anyone that's going to come at you in a fight like that, it will be Wales. So it was very important for us to kind of right the wrongs of the last few times we've met them. Been building up a good rivalry between those two teams now, but delighted to get the win.
And is that the same reason why you were determined to get that final try at the end as well? Because you could have easily just played for the full time whistle, but you seemed determined to get that fifth try.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to finish it out. You know, it's always working on process. If we were points down, we'd be doing the exact same thing. So we don't change what we do. We stick to our process, and that will hopefully give us the results.
And as you alluded to, England in 2 weeks' time, you have a nice break before that, but even better to go in there back-to-back wins. I suppose it's daunting to face England at any stage, but with 2 wins under your belt, you've got to feel confident going over there.
Yeah, I probably use the wrong terminology in break. We will train. We'll be in Dublin next weekend and we will train, but as in a break from competition, so that we can kind of gather ourselves a little bit and get all of our ducks in a row for England, because that will be a test, and it's always a test at home or away.
Yeah, it's Cliona Maloney there, Irish hooker. She was the player of the match in today's win. 31-12 over Wales. They're going quite well, the Irish women's team. That's two good wins now in the space of 2 weeks. As Clare mentioned, she's glad of the break, even though she was keen to clarify it is not a break, but she's glad of the break from competition. But that win today would have taken an awful lot out of them, especially in those conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the style of rugby they're trying to implement is encouraging. Like Bevan Parsons' try, I know she was mentioned there in the interview, she's only 18, but like Jacob Stockdale-esque, like it was amazing. She
got a cracker last week,
got a ball and stepped two and then finished with her pace. And yeah, like last week she's, you know, gone back to back weeks now with great, very important tries. So you know, seeing athletes like that coming into this Irish team, and I suppose the likes of Nupu in the centre, you know, an old head there to gel it together. So I think they're making good progress after, I guess, a tough few years for the women's team. Looks like they're definitely going in the right direction.
Yeah, and a big step up now is they face England in 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're kind of have always been the, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, the kind of trendsetters in women's rugby, and would always be leading top two in the world at least. Very physical. You know, when I remember going over as a schoolboy to Irish schoolboy to England, and you know, I was only starting to be exposed to professional rugby, and rugby itself was only starting to become professional. But you know, they had kind of had just the remnants of women's rugby teams there starting to become semi-pro as well. So that was light years ahead of where the Irish girls were at, and it's great to see that the Irish girls have caught up and are bringing really talented players into the game. And I guess bad news from GAA point of view, but a lot of girls who have serious talent in the GAA ranks are going to rugby now, and obviously the AFL as well.
Yeah, but great win for Ireland today. Congratulations to them, and we won't say enjoy the break because clean to point out there. It is certainly not a break. All right, going to talk Muay Thai now, and Sime Ryer is holding their second ever Rumble at the Rocky Show next week. Some top class fights on the card at Blackrock Hurling Club next Saturday night. Now, three of the fighters on the card calling to me earlier today: Owen McCarthy, Aaron McGahey and Finn Keating, who headlines the night as he fights for an Irish title. All right, lads, thanks very much for coming in. First off, Mac, I might start with yourself. Rumble at the Rocky is coming up next Saturday. Blackrock Hurling Club, I suppose always a big card and a big night for you as a club, I suppose.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us in, Roddy, again. I was great being in. Yeah, like we're starting off here, Mairn's first show of the year, Rumble at the Rockies. We have 15 big fights on. Starting off a few local domestic amateur fights over there. We're moving into C, B class, and then A class. Myself, a few of the lads fighting, Finn Keating headlining with the Irish title. It's going to be it's sort of only second time going out to the Rumble at the Rockies in Black Rock. It's like the old school Silver Springs ones that we used to have. Mm. A great atmosphere and all that, and everything boxing close with the ring and people in there. It's a great show and really looking forward to it.
Now, lads, this is the first time you've been in here, so Finn, you might tell us, I suppose, a bit of your background in the sport, how you got started.
No water. Started in 2014 training with Martin Horgan, Sam Morris Cork, and progressing through the years. Now it's finally get my chance to fight for an Irish title, headlining a show in Rumble at the Rockies now on Saturday. So it's going to be highly aggressive fight going to be coming from the start, and hopefully get to stoppage early.
Mm. So how many fights have you had so far?
This is my 26th fight now.
Yeah, so you've been busy over the last 4 years.
Busy, alright, yeah. So it's my first fight of the year, so going to be looking to make a statement and show everyone why I'm the number one fighter.
What was it about Muay Thai then that you kind of stuck with you, and why did you stick at it then?
I don't know, really. I kind of was involved in MMA and stuff like that, and I was trying out everything. I was doing a bit of everything, really. Martial arts wise, and I just stuck with the Thai boxing. I just found it the most entertaining to watch and to do. So
Aaron, tell me a bit about your history in the sport and how you got started.
I started a good while ago. I don't forget how long. I was up in Ballincollig first with Seamus Gogan and John Teddy, and we closed down there a few years ago. So then I went up to Martin training with the boys, like.
And I suppose Sime Ryer is kind of renowned as like probably the best Muay Thai gym in the country as well.
Yeah, biggest gym in the country. Like, and I just asked my trainers as well, and they said best option for me. So,
how many fights have you had now, Aaron?
About 20 or something like that as well.
And what is it about Thai boxing then that kind of sticks with you, and why does it resonate with you?
I love training and just the discipline of it. And I like feeling good about training and all that. Like,
Mac, you've been around a while in this game. You've seen a lot of fighters come and go. Describe the two lads to me and what they're like.
they're on seal, you know what I mean? They're saying the thing, like the lads train hard to put everything in, they leave everything in the ring, you know what I mean? Martin says it, like, so when it comes to the corner in between fights and stuff like that, and you need to tell lads what to do. The lads, they're like a sponge, they soak up everything they're told, go straight out and do what they're told straight away, not a problem to them, you know what I mean? They're hard working, like Aaron's saying there, they're disciplined, like since they came up, like Finn's been up with us since he was a young fella, really started. Aaron started out with Seamus and John out in Spartan, and like, we always watched Aaron fight since he was a young fella himself, and Rashford's even fought a few years back as well, you know, between them, and like they're the best of friends now, always going to each other, but when it comes to their fighting, they're solid out, you know, they give 100% for everything, and like once you see them in the ring, you know yourself, you know you're in for a show just with these lads alone, in mind everybody else is going to be on the card.
I suppose for yourself as well, you seeing the next generation come up as well, helping them must be particularly pleasing.
Yeah, that's the way I say I'm old, is it? Yeah, we leave it at that. No, just, we have a lot of good talent coming in through the ranks there now at the moment already, there's no doubt there. Like between the two boys, we have Finn, we have Aaron, we have like Daniil, Dean, a lot of lads fighting on the show, then there's a lot of other lads like Nassim's fighting another Silver Series title, the smile assassin, we call Nassim, like, you know, he's smiling in your face while he's punching the head off. Yeah, Colin Tobin, Dean, Rob, a lot of lads that are going to be on the show, like it's a really talented card, and really looking forward to lads from up and down the country as well.
Trent, who are you fighting now and Saturday?
I'm fighting Philip Ni from Hiver Muay Thai. He's a fast starter, so he'd be trying to take me out early on. Yeah. So it's my job to be sharp and put manners on him early on in the fight.
So you've seen him fight before, obviously. So
I've seen him fight alright a few times. Alright, he's been around a lot longer than I have. So I'm training hard at the minute, like training every day. People don't see the dedication really that goes into, you know, for all of us. You know, it's 6 days a week. You know, and then you have to make the weight as well. So it's a lot of takes up a lot of your time fighting.
Going in for an Irish title as well, that's obviously a new experience for you. I mean, does that add any added pressure, or does it even matter?
I wouldn't say it's any added pressure, but you know, it's obviously great to be fighting my first full A-class fight. So it's 5 3-minute rounds and full Thai rules. So there's elbows and everything, like, so first time doing full Thai rules, yeah, but look, obviously it's a fight, you know, I've been in there before, so gonna just go and do my thing, and it's going to be a busy few weeks for me, because 3 weeks afterwards I'm fighting on Capital One Lion Fight in Dublin, Martin Horgan's other show, and I'm fighting on live on CBS Sports.
That's, yeah,
for another Irish title at 59 kilos, so it's going to be a busy few weeks for me, and hopefully get the year started off to a good start.
Certainly. So Aaron, who are you fighting now next Saturday?
I'm fighting Owen Lawler from Dublin, same camp as Mac. So they're a good camp, like he's a good young fella, he's coming up now, he beat a couple of fellas. So they want to fight me now, like.
Yeah, have you seen him fight before?
I seen him fight there once last year, he was good, nice style, he'd be slick, like, you know, he'd be good at pulling back now and nice kicks and stuff like that, like.
Aaron, how would you describe yourself as a fighter, and what's your style like?
Probably be a bit like him as well. I like to kick and I've good enough Thai style. I've been to Thailand a couple of times then as well, so I love clinching as well. Like, it's a thing, it's not done as often here, like when you're out there you'll be clinching hours every day, like, so I love that as well, like.
Yeah, obviously going to Thailand to train is a kind of the epitome, I suppose, the top level. I mean, like, how did you find that experience? And
it's different, alright, like I went to like an all kind of school place, like there's nothing around, like nothing to do, you're just completely isolated training all of the time, like. But I loved it as well, like.
Mac, who are you fighting next week?
Like Aaron was saying there, I'm fighting Craig Nolan and two lads from GSU in Dublin, ran by Rob Carey. They're big up and coming gym, big stars and everything in it as well. And saying Owen Lawler, very talented lad that Aaron's going to be fighting. I'm fighting Craig Nolan, he's on a big winning streak from last year. Young fella, he's already 20, he's good, big talent that's coming through the ranks. Like everywhere in Ireland these days, their gyms are full of lads coming in and they want to go. Like, I'm really looking forward to getting in there. I know my experience and the way I like to fight and all that is really going to push through. So I can't wait for it.
Since we last spoke, you've become a father. Congratulations on that as well.
Thanks very much.
Does that give you kind of extra motivation, kind of going into fights now that you're fighting for your daughter?
Decorating the house down over there at the moment, putting it up, and nice to have a few pictures to show on my land in a few years. I just went daddy used to and stuff like that and everything.
they're
the other babies after mine.
All right, lads, it's been a pleasure having you, and thanks very much for coming in to us. Rumble at the Rock is happening next Saturday night.
Thanks very much, Rory. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Rory.
Yeah, and thanks to Owen McCarthy, Aaron McGahey and Finn Keating from Sion Morris for popping in today. It's happening next Saturday night at Black Rock Hurling Club, which will be a cracking night. Have you ever gone to a Muay Thai fight night, Tomás?
I haven't. I'd be tempted now after listening to the lads there. It's serious discipline, serious skill set. Obviously pretty violent too at times, but I do have massive respect for the lads there and fighters in general, just the discipline they have and the skill set they have as well. So I think I might, if I don't know what I'm doing next Saturday night, but I'll see, I'll have a chat with Julie and see. I don't think she'd be keen on it. She probably wouldn't let me bring the two smallies, I think I might pop down.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking night, so best luck to all the fighters on the card next Saturday evening. Ryan Sheehan also popped into studio today. He's fighting in Dublin on the Capital One show in a couple of weeks' time, so we'll play that interview a bit closer to the fight, but great to talk to Ryan as well as he goes in search of a WBC title belt in Dublin. A big step up for Ryan, but no doubt whatsoever that he is well able for it. Alright, speaking of BlackRock, the launch of the Red FM Hurling Leagues took place in our studios on Thursday night. There's plenty of player audio on our website. Go to redfm.ie/sport for that. Of course, the league was due to get underway today, but Douglas Newtown Shannon was postponed because of the weather. BlackRock are the reigning Division 1 champions, and I spoke to Rockies forward Michael O'Halloran ahead of their opening game away to Sarsfields on Thursday.
Yeah, it was good. In fairness, we played the Bears in the semi-final and went to extra time. It was a good game, pocket ball between us, and then following week then we played Sarah's in the final. There's a good run of games in the summer, which is good. It was well organised last year and it's finishing the summer, so it was good for us. But then 2 weeks later we got knocked out of the championship, so but we'll be looking to play well again in the league this year.
The league, I suppose, obviously it's a great preparation for the championship, and I suppose teams are really kind of taking it up a level over the last couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's a run of games in the summer, and I think it was changed last year, the structure, so a lot of games in the summer, and fellas are well focused, and I suppose some fellas going away on J1s, but competitive league games as well. So yeah, it's been very good the last few years.
Would you have had many fellas gone in J1s though last year? Or not last year, this year?
I think a few this year, all right. So. Yeah. But we'll be grand now. Hopefully we get a few lads from the intermediates who won the intermediate championship last year. So a few of them hopefully break through, and the under-21s were very good as well this year. So there's a lot of competition, I suppose, for places as well.
And you're out again now next Thursday, so looking forward to a competitive game early on.
Yeah, good to get the ground running, I suppose, against Sarahs. Know what you're going to expect from them. We haven't much done, but we'll start get going now and start getting a few games, so it'll be good to get the games in.
Yeah, I suppose championship's still 2 months away, so
perfect. It comes around quick enough, you know, so playing April 17th against Aaron's Own, so we want to get a good bank of preparation in now before that, so that starts next Thursday in Sarahs.
So it'll be a good year now for BlackRock. What's the target?
Target is always the same, but I suppose hopefully we can kick on now with the intermediate. They were very good, in fairness, Bleak and Dove in the final, so hopefully we get a few of those lads and one game at a time, I suppose.
Yeah, that's Michael O'Halloran, BlackRock forward there. They're the reigning Red FM Division 1 Hurling League champions after last year. So best luck to all the clubs involved in the five Red FM Hurling Leagues this year. It was
especially
great.
Aaron's Own.
Especially Aaron's Own. We have an Aaron's Own man sitting in here next to us.
They're talking about lads going away on J1s. That's the reason I retired. you're dealing with lads who are 19, 20, tearing around the place, and you're like mid-30s, struggling to get out of bed. So, that kind of hits home how things have changed.
I still think you'll end up playing hurling this year.
I won't. You haven't seen me play in the last few years. In my head, I'd love to, but I'm not good enough anymore.
No, you'll be sitting there now, and one of the lads go, come on, out train with us now Tuesday. And you know what? You'll go, yeah, do you know what? Yeah, go on. And you'll be hurling away also.
I'm more likely now to take up Muay Thai than her GA again.
All right, quickly before we hand you over to Alan Donovan for Green on Red. Cork City, of course, kicking off their season on Friday. They are at home to Shelburne on Valentine's night. Dylan McGlade is one of City's new signings. He's been speaking to Ryan.
Dylan, I suppose if you want to just give us just a quick overview, how is the team feeling ahead of the start of the new season?
Yeah, I think it's going really well. Like, pre-season's pre-season, you know what I mean? It's there for running training and getting fit, but it's also there for everybody getting to know each other and getting to know how each other plays and stuff. And I think the more that we're playing together and training together, the more you can see people are starting to get on the same wavelength and obviously understanding how the gaffer wants to play and stuff like that. So it's been going really well, and I think all the boys are gelling. It's great group of lads, so it's easy, you know what I mean?
Good. What would you say is kind of the mentality between you all kind of in the change room there?
I think we're a young group. I think we were talking the other day, and I think Chops is the oldest at the moment, Garrod, so it's kind of going to be down to, I think, people like myself and Chops to kind of be the more older players in the group and bring the boys along. But as you can see, like, we have a great group of lads from Cork there, some young, hungry guys, and I think that will kind of really help us. They'll have a lot of pride playing for their hometown, and mix them in with a couple of boys from outside and people that want to do well. I think we'll have a good group of lads there going forwards.
Physically, Dylan, how are you feeling in terms of your own fitness ahead of the new season?
I'm feeling very good. Like, pre-season's tough as it is, but this has probably been the toughest one I've done so far under Joe Gamble, and like, the boys are hating the running, but at the end of the day, we're feeling fit, you know what I mean? It's getting easier. A lot of us played 65-70 the other night and felt fantastic, you know what I mean? So that's a credit to Joe, and he's really managing the schedule well and the loads well. And we have tough days, and then we have days where we need to lay off a little bit, and then we have tough days again. So he's doing a really good job, and I think all the boys are looking fit and strong and just eager.
Good stuff. I suppose, just in terms of 2020, I suppose, what are your own goals and maybe the goals of the club as a general, like the Cork City's goals, but first as a player for yourself?
I think personally, I have the same goals every season. I want to hit double figures in goals, and I want to play well, and I want to make sure that the team is playing well as well. Realistically, I like exciting the fans and stuff like that, so that's something that I look to bring in, and but obviously have something on the end of it at the same time. And I think as a team going forward, I think you can't put any real expectations on the season. Everybody knows what type of season it's going to be. It's a rebuilding season. The gaffer's putting a new stamp on how Cork City are going to play football. It'll be exciting. It might not work sometimes, but at the end of the day, I think in the long run, it's the right way to go. We're not going in thinking that we're going to lose every game or we're going to struggle and stuff like that. We won't struggle. Teams will definitely underestimate us, and I think that'll play into a factor to us. And I think, like I said previously, with a good core group of young Cork boys who want to play well for Cork City and want to do well for the county, I think it will really help us drive on.
You've mentioned that there's a lot of young players in the squad and that there's a kind of a rebuilding and experimental season ahead. Is there a particular style or brand of football you think you're taking into 2020, or is that kind of something you need to work out as a team together?
I think definitely if anybody that knows Neil Fenn from previously knows football that he wants to play, it's an expansive, high-pressing, exciting attacking football. And I think, obviously, people that maybe have not played that type of football before, it will take a couple of the lads a couple of weeks to get used to it and understand how the manager wants to play. It's kind of easier for me because I've played under Neil before. I know exactly what he wants. So obviously I'm trying to help guide some of the younger lads along and let them know what needs to be done. But I think the fans will definitely be excited, 100%. There'll be a lot of good football, attacking football, possession based football, but at the same time we have a very high intensity press, and we'll be looking to get after teams. We're not going to be sitting in and feeling sorry for ourselves. We're going to go out and we're going to try and attack teams and win the ball high up the pitch. So it's something that we've been working on a lot, and hopefully we can bring that into the season.
That kind of possession based and kind of high aggressive type of football is obviously very physically demanding. Do you feel that in training and in these pre-season games? Do you feel like there's a lot being asked of you?
Not really. I think, like I said already, Joe has been doing really well with the fitness and stuff like that, and the boys are feeling strong, and they're putting a lot of work into the running because they know they need to be fit to keep up with that style of play. And everybody wants to play at the end of the day, so everybody wants to be as fit as they possibly can. And it is physically demanding, but the rewards you get from it is much better. Like a 20, 30 second high pressing to win the ball back, and then we regroup and we look to move the ball and we get our rest then. So I think the running coupled with the tactics and stuff like that, I think it'll lead to a very exciting type of football being played.
Yeah, certainly looking forward to Cork City's new season kicking off this Friday night as they take on Shelburne, the old rivals coming to Turner's Cross. And that was a new signing there, Dylan McLeod, ahead of new campaign. Friday night, Valentine's night, down the cross. What more could you want, Tomás O'Leary?
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I was speaking to Cullum on the show and I said, no, I probably won't be going, but my wife has given out to me, so maybe she'd be happy with a Valentine's Day date in the cross yet.
I'm taking you out, love. Oh, great. Can't wait. Where are we going, love? We're going to go to the cross. Yeah, where is that? Is that a new restaurant? No, love.
I'll get her a jersey as well.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You know how to show a woman a good time, eh?
Exactly. She's a lucky girl.
Yeah, it'll be a great night down at Turner's Cross. It's my wife's birthday on Valentine's Day as well.
Are you heading?
If my wife is listening, love, I might be at the match on Friday night. I'm sure that
you're working, like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Have to.
Yeah, that'll go down very, very well. Sorry, love. All right, we're pretty much out of time. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way on the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Storm Ciara has passed, played havoc with fixtures today. So hopefully looking forward to getting back to another busy weekend next weekend. Our podcast will be online shortly. Get that on Big Red Bench. You can get that on redfm.ie. I should say, you can get the link on the Big Red Bench Twitter page as well, and you can follow us there as well, and check out our Instagram as well. There's plenty of stuff on there, and plenty of audio as well on redfm.ie/sport from the Red FM Hurling League launch, which happened earlier on last week or last Thursday. So plenty of audio from the clubs there in that game. We're back next Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. No Six Nations next weekend. Ireland taking a break before that battle with England the following week. But Munster certainly back in action and taking on the Southern Kings on Friday night as well. So traffic and parking will be at a premium around Turner's Cross on Thursday and Rome Bellavihan as well, with those two games happening at the same time. Alright, that's it. Alan Donovan's up next with Green and Red. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks, and we will talk to you next Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.